Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our guests. Nice having you. It's our custom to give a short talk after our Homa. This is from a little book that I'm preparing, as I mentioned last week. Suggestions for parents on teaching Hinduism to their children. Let's read the first point again. I read it last week. It's a good introduction. Reminds us all what the topic is. Hinduism in the home. Parents should take the responsibility of being the primary teachers of Hinduism to their children. It is wonderful that many temples have in place educational programs for the youth that are both effective and popular. However, it is important for parents to have the attitude that these programs supplement but do not replace the need for parents to teach Hinduism to their children in the home. Parents are indeed the first guru. They teach in many different ways, such as by example, explanation, and giving advice and direction. The child's deepest impressions come from what the parents do and say. Therefore, if the parents can follow a systematic approach in teaching Hinduism to the child, as he or she grows up, when the child reaches adulthood, this will make the practice of Hinduism much more integral in the child's life and therefore much less likely to be abandoned. So that's the general introduction. Skip to section four, part four. Helping our children learn from their experiences. Teach that it is by being in the world and interacting with other people that we advance spiritually. The world, in a sense, refers to the places where we interact with people the most, such as at home, at school, and our place of work. In Western thought, these are not considered sacred places. However, in Hinduism, they are. In our Paramaguru's words, the world is an ashram, a training ground for the achievement of moksha. What is it that transforms the world from a secular place into a spiritual one? It is the overview that it is through the process of living life that we unfold spiritually. It is the knowing that through fulfilling our natural duties in life, honestly and to the best of our ability, we make spiritual progress. Why? Because work puts us in situations where we interact with other people, especially when we hold our dharmic responsibility over an extended period of time. Through interacting with others, we learn important lessons and, as a result, gradually deepen our understanding, improve our behavior, and become a more spiritual person. In doing so, we work through the karma we created in the past and create new karma to be faced in the future. Our daily work contributes to our spiritual progress just as much as attending pujas in the temple and worshipping in our home shrine. Paramaguru Yogaswami captured the essence of this perspective when he said, all work must be done with the aim of reaching God. Teach that life is a classroom in which we learn important lessons. Life is a process of learning through trial and error and thereby advancing spiritually. Gurudeva has an insightful explanation of this process. Life is a series of experiences, one after another. Each experience can be looked at as a classroom in the big university of life. If we only approach it that way, who is going to these classrooms? Who is the member of this university of life? It is not your instinctive mind. It is not your intellectual mind. It's the body of your soul, your superconscious self, that wonderful body of light. It's maturing under the stress and strain. Teach about the three powers of desire, action, and wisdom. Important insights into the soul's maturing process can be gained by looking at the three Shaktis of God. Icha, the power of desire, Kriya, the power of action, and Jnana, the power of wisdom, which are also the three powers of the soul. We first have a desire, and when the desire becomes strong enough, we act. In young souls, the action may be ill-conceived and adharmic. For example, we want a computer, so we simply steal one. Money is needed, so we rob a bank. The soul is repeating a cycle of similar experiences, moving back and forth from desire to action, desire to action. Explain how wisdom eventually comes from both adharmic and dharmic actions. In the case of the adharmic action of stealing, eventually the soul will learn the lesson that this is not the best course of action to take to acquire possessions. This is learning. This learning is the jnana shakti, wisdom coming in and causing one's behavior to improve. This process also works for dharmic actions as well. We are helping out as a volunteer at the temple and teaching children's classes once a month. We like the feeling it gives us of helping others in a meaningful way and decide to help out every week. Participate in the meetings which plan out the classes too. We are doing a selfless action, and the reaction it has on us is to feel more inner joy. Therefore, the jnana is to decide to do even more of it, and thus feel more joyful. We have again improved our behavior. Hold the perspective that children make mistakes because they are lacking knowledge. For all of mankind, no matter where one is on the path, spiritual advancement comes from improving one's behavior. Said another way, it comes from learning from one's mistakes. Unfortunately, this process is often inhibited by the idea that somehow we are not supposed to make mistakes. We grow up being scolded for our mistakes by our parents. Some teachers ridicule students when they make mistakes. Supervisors at work yell at workers when they make a mistake. No wonder many adults feel terrible when they make a mistake. Therefore, to spiritually benefit from our mistakes, we need a new attitude toward them. We can view them instead as wonderful opportunities to learn. In disciplining our children, the most important part is to focus on finding out what lack of knowledge caused the mistake and providing them with that knowledge. Focus on solutions instead of punishment. For some parents, disciplining their children for misbehavior is simply a matter of punishment. But punishment misses the point if it does not go along with the teaching, so that you are helping the child learn how to avoid making the mistake again. The important point is the child does not know something. Otherwise, he would never have made the mistake. There is some knowledge the child is missing, and the parents need to figure out what that knowledge is and teach it to the child in a way the child can grasp and remember it. There are better forms of punishment than corporal punishment and verbal accusation. When children seriously misbehave, punishment, of course, needs to be part of the response. There are many forms of corporal punishment and verbal accusation: spanking, hitting, using harsh or angry words, neglecting or abusing. They all cause the child to become fearful, and fear interferes significantly with the child's ability to think clearly and remember the lesson the parent provides. They also lower the child's sense of self-worth. Therefore, the alternative forms of punishment, such as time out, logical consequences, and denial of privileges that use loving positive strategies, are more appropriate and conducive to the child learning the lesson from the experience and actually not repeating the mistake again. Teach older children how they can wisely respond to their mistakes through a four-step process. The natural first reaction is to feel sad. The first reaction to having made a mistake is to become upset that we made the mistake. Get emotional about it, or if it is a serious mistake, to become quite burdened and even depressed. This is a natural first reaction, but if it is our only reaction, it is not enough. We need to deal with the emotional reaction to the action and move on to the second step, which is the learning stage. The second reaction to having made a mistake is to figure out how to avoid making the same mistake again. A good second reaction to a mistake is to think clearly about what happened and why the mistake occurred and find a way to not repeat the mistake in the future. Perhaps we were not being careful enough, and resolving to be more careful next time will prevent the problem from occurring. Perhaps we did not know something, and now we have that knowledge and can simply resolve to use the knowledge next time. Perhaps we created unintended consequences that have caused significant problems to us or others. Now that we are aware of the consequences, we certainly won't repeat the action. This is moving from saying, "I shouldn't have done it," to saying, "I shouldn't do it again." Third reaction may be needed if the mistake involved other people. Perhaps we have hurt their feelings or created a strain between us. A direct apology can fix this if we know them well. However, in many situations, we are not close enough to the individual to be able to apologize. In that case, a generous act toward them can adjust the flow of feelings back into a harmonious condition. For example, include them among a group of friends to whom you give some cookies or candy. A fourth reaction may be needed if the mistake is a major misdeed. For example, if we did something that was dishonest. In this case, even though we have resolved to not repeat the misdeed, apologize to those involved, we may well still feel bad about having done it. In this case, we need to perform some form of penance, prayaschitta, to rid ourselves of the sense of feeling bad about ourselves. Typical forms of penance are to fast, perform 108 prostrations before the deity, or walking prostrations up a sacred path or around the temple. Helping your children perfect the art of learning quickly from mistakes enables them to make faster spiritual progress. The spiritual path is a series of experiences, and sometimes those experiences are mistakes that we make. If, because of being self-reflective, we can learn from those mistakes quickly and thus avoid making them again, we progress quickly on the spiritual path. If we are constantly making the same mistakes over and over and over again, we are not making progress. Thank you. Timeless advice and great teachings.